I want to share with you tonight a simple story in the Bible that really has been moving in my heart for weeks. And I think it's a tremendous story of the love of Jesus that is found in Luke chapter 7. One day, a Pharisee invited Jesus to eat. And as they were sitting at the table and getting ready to eat, a woman came in. She busted, and she was not invited, but she came into the house. She came at the feet of Jesus, and she started to weep on his feet, and she wept so much that she washed his feet. Actually, you need to understand that the feet of the people in those days were dirty because they were walking with sandals, and they were walking, and when they got into the houses, there was dirt on their feet, and the feet of Jesus are dirty because we'll see it later. The Pharisee didn't offer Jesus a bowl of water to wash his feet, but she came and she wept over his feet. And then the Bible says that she washed his feet with her hair. And then she kissed his feet and she put perfume on it. And that is an amazing story. But the Pharisee didn't like what happened. But Jesus, knowing his mind, told a story. And he told a story about a man that we will read, a creditor who had two debtors. And if you want with me, we will read verse 41, chapter 7. Let's take a verse 40. And Jesus answering said to him, "Simon, I have something to say to you." And he answered, "Say it, teacher." "A certain money lender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they could not pay, he canceled the debt of both. Now, which of them will love him more?" And this is the title of my message tonight, "How to Love Him More." And if you really read this carefully, what Jesus is saying here is that the one who had the bigger debt that was forgiven loved more the money lender in return. And we know in that story, because Jesus is going to talk about sin, we know in that story that the bigger the sin, the bigger the forgiveness of God, and the bigger the love in return. And when I started to read that story, I was shocked at what Jesus said, because I've been raised in a Christian family. I've never been a big sinner. And Jesus says here, if you really want to love God, you need more God. You need to be a big sinner. So I sought the Lord and I had a revelation, and I brought that to my, you know, I have two little daughters, and sometimes we open the Bible together, we pray and we share the word. And one night, I wanted to trap them, so we were sitting in the bed, and I started to tell them the story, and I told my daughter, I said, "You see what Jesus is saying? I mean, he's really saying that. He's saying the bigger the sin, the bigger the forgiveness, so the bigger the love in return. So if you really want to love Jesus, I mean, he has to forgive you a big sin." And my daughters were looking at me. And I have a 9-year-old daughter. She looked at me like, "Daddy, Jesus would never say something like that. Could never ask us to go and sin and do bigger things and bad things." And she's a bright girl. So she said, "It means something else. It means something deeper." And I told them, I said, "I got it." You know, I cried out to God. I sought the Lord. I said, "God, I need to know your mind. I need to know your heart here. And this is what I want to share with you tonight. There are two things that are really coming out of that verse as a revelation from God. First, the purpose of conviction. And second, the power of expression. But first, the purpose of conviction. Jesus here puts in light the huge difference, the paradox, the huge difference between the Pharisee and the woman. And he shows that this man, the Pharisee here, has a blurred intellectual understanding of who God is. But that woman has a beautiful experience of the love of Jesus. How could a woman come into, barge into a room without being invited, coming at the feet of Jesus, weeping so much on his feet that she will wash his feet with her tears. This is real. How can a woman have such a deep understanding of what worship is truly about? Well, Jesus will answer that. And he will tell the Pharisee, and he will show that through that story, that what just happened here in the room was the result of something that previously happened, that happened before. This was just the result of something else that happened before, just before that. When we look at this, Jesus will explain it through that story. He will try to explain to the Pharisee why she's like that. This is the result of something that happened. And Jesus will put the emphasis on the comparison between a little debt and a big debt. Now, if we want to really know the mind of God, we need to understand that God is not looking after action. God is looking in the heart. God is after the heart. God is looking at the nature of things, the nature inside of us. He's not looking at how she lived her life. Socially, the Bible says that she was a sinner. She was known socially in the village as a sinner in a religious culture. Many commentators and scholars and professionals of studying the Bible think that she was a prostitute. And socially, she was really tagged as a sinner. Even Jesus mentioned and underlined that her sins were many. But God is not looking at actions, how we behave. He's looking deeper than that. He's looking at our hearts. And there's a difference here between her and him. And to understand how that great love of that woman came, we need to know that Jesus said that his spirit would be sent into the world to reprove us, bring conviction. And the Holy Ghost came into his life and her life. I believe it because God is, they were equals before God. She had maybe socially, maybe in the community, she had more like a sinful life than him. But in the eyes of God, they were equals. The Pharisee with his religion and all his practices and rituals, he was like her. But the difference is that when God sends his spirit to convict us, to reprove us, to bring light into not just our behaving, our how we behave, how we live our lives, but God is always looking after something deeper in your heart. He wants to show you the nature inside of you that brought out that sin. And the same nature was in that man and in that woman. Both of them were equals before God. The Bible says that we are all sinners, all equals before the Lord. So when God sent his spirit, because that's what Jesus said. Jesus said that his spirit will be sent into the world to reprove us, to bring conviction, to argue with us, not just about our behavior, but about our sinful nature that is lying inside of us, that is there producing sins. Now the difference, I believe, is that this man wrapped himself into his religious things to resist the conviction of the Holy Spirit. But that woman was different. Here we see the result of something very deep that happened in her heart. She opened her heart. She didn't argue with God. She opened her heart and she let the Holy Spirit come into her life and convince her, bring conviction and bring reproof. And what Jesus says is that when you let God deal like that with you, the why, what's inside, he's going to work. But God comes with love. And when he comes, it's a matter of conviction. Jesus said that the Holy Spirit would come to bring conviction, not to amplify our nature, but to clarify to our hearts who we are inside. So when you draw near to God, you become more sensitive. The deeper the conviction, the deeper the repentance. The forgiveness is magnified, and we love him so much in return. I believe that women just simply, humbly opened their heart to God to what God was trying to show to her. She didn't fight back. She didn't argue. She agreed. She said, yes, this is who I am. But when God brings a reproof in your life, He brings it with love. And the love of God came upon her. And you see, this is very important for us, because some young people, they try to avoid that. They want to know the good part of the gospel, that God loves you and it's true, that God is good and it's true. Beautiful songs and the choir and getting excited and the friendship that we have in the church. And all those things are good. And the promises of God for you are good. And yes, God has a future for you. Yes, God forgives. And all those things are true. But I want to tell you something tonight. There is no possible way, I believe it with my guts, there is no possible way that we may love Him more and get to know more how He loves us if we do not let first the Holy Spirit come and touch stuff in our lives and in our hearts and convince you of things in your lives. He wants to go deeper than your behavior and how you behave. He wants to touch your nature and He wants to show you. And this is very painful. This is difficult. But He wants you not to act and talk anymore as if you are a victim, but as if you are a convict, responsible for that nature that's inside of you. And you know, when God puts His high beam in full light of what's inside in our nature, you know how we start to feel? We start to feel guilty. We start to feel bad. We want to avoid it. We want to walk away from it. I don't know if it happened in my life, that sometimes the Holy Ghost was trying to deal with things in my life, and it was painful. It was tough. But you got to get through this to understand how beautiful is the forgiveness of Jesus. But when He puts, when He brings conviction in your life, you start to feel bad. And you know how you feel? You feel like there are going to be consequences to what I am inside, to how I behave. I will not always just walk away like that and live my life. Something's going to happen to me. You start to feel like a piano is going to fall on you. Consequences, justice will come to you. And the Pharisees were looking for this. They wanted that woman to have consequences on her lives for her behavior, because she was a sinful woman. Probably, I believe, she was a prostitute. She did terrible things. She brought men into sin, into adulterous behavior, cheating on their wives. I don't know. I don't want to put things in the Bible that are not written. But for sure, even Jesus said that her sins were many. And the Pharisees wanted that woman to have some consequences for her sins. And when you feel guilty, when you feel like God is really putting light into your life, and you say, it's true, I'm like that, you feel something's going to happen. You feel there are going to be consequences. You feel caught. You feel justice is going to come. But let me tell you this tonight. It's the love of Jesus that came upon her. Jesus came and He said to her, your sins are forgiven. When God finds a young man or a young lady that is not fighting with his spirit, arguing with what he's trying to point in your life, but when He finds you, not arguing, but you agree and you say, God, it's true. This is who I am. It's in me. Instantly, the love of God will come upon you. His grace will come. His forgiveness will come. And it's amazing, because that lady was there. She was waiting probably for consequences to come into her life. And suddenly what happened is that forgiveness, love, Jesus saying, I forgive you. And that produced a beautiful, deeper, true, real love in our life. And that's why she busted into the room. She came in. She was not invited, but the Bible says she heard that Jesus was there. I'm going to tell you something tonight. Most of the scholars And there's even an English translation of the Bible that the way it's written, you can read that that something happened before that meeting between Jesus and her. We don't know what happened. But most of the scholars, they really believe that there was a divine moment between Jesus and her that we don't know about it, but it happened before that she came in into the house. And that was the result of the conviction. The Holy Ghost came upon her. She didn't fight it. She didn't argue. She agreed. She said, God, this is true. This is who I am. And as soon as she agreed, the love of God came. Forgiveness of Jesus came upon her. And Jesus even told her in the room, he said, you can go and walk away freely now. Your sins are forgiven. And I'm going to tell you this tonight. It's even deeper than that. Because sometimes Jesus said, go. You are forgiven, go and sin no more. And the beauty is that when you open your heart to Jesus, repentant, his love comes, he forgives, he forgets, he washes away, he protects you, but he's going to go deeper than that. He's going to change you. Because if he says, go and sin no more, it's because he promises that he's going to give you the strength and the capacity to go and be free from your sin and sin no more. Think about a pearl maker tonight. I read about it. It's beautiful. A pearl maker will take an oyster and he will take a grain, a little grain of sand, and he will force the grain of sand into the oyster. The grain of sand is not invited into the shell, the oyster. Is that how you say oyster? Yeah. Exactly like the woman in the story. But once the grain is inside, the oyster will not reject them. The oyster will start to fill the grain with its own nature. And slowly the grain will become a pearl. A grain of sand has no value, zero value. But once it becomes a pearl, the longer it stays in the shell, the oyster, the bigger the pearl, the bigger the value. So I'm going to tell you this tonight. When the love of God comes to you, when God argues with something in your life and he says, this is wrong, he says it because he loves you. He wants to bring conviction in your life, and it's out of his love. But it's to bring you in so you can come just as you are and receive forgiveness, receive the love of Jesus, and spend time with him as she did. And as you are at his feet, she was not invited, but he welcomed her. Isn't that amazing? She was not invited in that house, but Jesus welcomed her. And as she was standing there, she started to worship God. And God started to work in her heart and work in her life. And the grain of sand started to take some value, and it became a pearl. I want to end with this tonight. First, the purpose of conviction. And in closing, the power of expression. Jesus here, young people tonight, focuses on love. Jesus is after love. He wants love. That's what he desires. This is what he's longing for. The whole story is about love. That's what he said. He said, who will love him the most? Who will love him more? You know, the first commandment of God is love. Here you got a man who has a lot of knowledge, intellectual knowledge and rituals and a religion. But God is not looking for that. God is looking for love. And that woman, and God will use a simple woman, a sinful woman, to show us a beautiful, powerful illustration of what worshiping God is truly about. And I want to show you in closing tonight, this is a very short message, because I want us to come and to worship and draw near to Jesus tonight all together. But I want to show you five things that will change your way to worship God. It's been really God used that woman, that verse, and that word in the Bible to really work into my life and to show me what worship is all about. The first thing is her tears. In those days, when you had a guest, it was the least to offer a boil of water. But Jesus will tell that man, he said, you didn't offer me a boil of water just to wash my feet. His feet were dirty. When the woman came, and when she started to weep, and when she wept, and the Bible, isn't that amazing? She wept so much on the feet of Jesus that she washed his feet. And Jesus will compare her tears to that boil of water. What does that mean for us tonight? Very simple and very clear. What Jesus is saying is Simon, the Pharisee, Jesus is telling him, you invited me, you came, you wanted me to come and you wanted to talk with me, but I'm not really welcome here. And maybe you can come to church and just walk, look around you and see stuff, just like a visitor, or if you're a visitor, you're welcome here, no problem. But as a spectator, we could say, just looking around, but it doesn't mean that Jesus is welcome in your life. But Jesus will compare her tears, and he will tell Simon, you didn't even offer me the least, just a boil of water to wash my feet. I sat at the table and my feet were dirty. He said, but she washed my feet with her tears, not a boil of water. So Jesus is pointing here that her tears were saying to Jesus, as she was weeping on his feet, she was saying to Jesus, I want you in my life. I want you in my house. I welcome you in my life. And I want to tell you this tonight. Worship, singing to God. If you do it in the subway with your iPod or whatever, or at home or at church, when you sing, when you worship God, true worship is about a heart that says to the Lord, I want you in my life. I want you in my day. I want you in my room. I want you in my classroom, in my school. I want you in that subway right now, Jesus. I want you to walk with me on the street. I want you in my heart. I want you in my apartment. I want you in my family. Jesus, come. Come in my life. That's what she was saying. The second thing she used is her hair. Now, you need to understand, the scholars say that in those days, the prostitutes used a strand of their hair, and they used to play, you know, they were veiled women, and they used to play with their strand just a bit like that to invite their clients. So her hair used to be at work for her own interest as she was a prostitute. But now she wants a new life. She's using all her hair not to bring people into sin, because some young people, you have a leader personality. You can draw people to Christ or you can draw people to sin. Some people here tonight, you can have a very bad influence on people around you, and you got to be careful about that. That lady was like that. She used that strand, that influence in her life to bring people into sin. But the Holy Ghost got a hold of her and he told her, this has to stop. And she agreed and she came to Jesus and she put all her hair to wash his feet, saying, I used to serve myself, now I want to serve you. Isn't that amazing? The third thing that we see into this is that she kissed his feet. That's weird. We don't see that in our culture today. But in many cultures in the world, people do it. Even still today, people will go to the Pope and they will kiss his hand. I don't say it's a good thing. But in those days, people kissed the feet of a king. When a king conquered a city, people, the slaves, his new servants, would come and kiss his feet and say, you're my new king. I change kingdom. You conquered my city. I surrender. I kiss your feet. You're the new king in that city. And that's what she was saying to Jesus. She's saying with her tears, I want you in my heart. She's saying with her hair, I want to serve you. She's kissing his feet, saying, you're my king. The Pharisees knew it. It wasn't their culture. And she's kissing his feet. And she's saying through this, you're my king, you're my king. And I want to end up with the perfume. The Bible says she put perfume on the feet of Jesus. Why? It was something that people used to do in those days. But not for anybody. It was something that was done in the temples. The Greeks used to do this, the Romans, and even in the temple of Jerusalem, the Jews. The perfume was only for the gods. There was an altar for perfumes burning, and people poured perfumed oil on it, and it was burning fire, and they were offering. It was a way to offer to their gods a worship. When she poured the perfume on Jesus, on the feet of Jesus, she was saying to everybody in the room, because the fragrance went everywhere in the room, she was saying, there is more than a teacher in this room. Because you know, the Pharisee Simon said to Jesus, he said, tell me that story. And maybe in your King James it said, tell me, master. But it's not really a good translation. A best translation would be teacher. He invited Jesus in his house, but Jesus wasn't welcome. And he said to Jesus, well, tell me the story, teacher. But as she poured the perfume on the feet of Jesus, she was saying, hey, there's more than a teacher here. There's a God. There is God. And I can show you in the Bible that even the disciples didn't have that revelation of Jesus at that point. But all this was the result, young people, hear me tonight. All this beautiful worship was the result of a work that is called conviction, reproof. And you can't get around. You got to get through it. You got to let the Holy Ghost come into your life and reprove some stuff in your life. And if you say, God, you're right, I'm wrong, His love will come right away. His forgiveness will come right away. And I'm telling you this, when you will see how God forgives that nature that's inside of each of us, that He forgives that, and He wants to help us and change it, I'm going to tell you your reaction. You're going to start to have some questions and go like, wow, how could He love me so much? And love, you know, love calls love. When you're really loved by someone, you feel like paying back in return. I don't know why it is in America. I mean, I'm really bringing this to a conclusion. But in France, when you're invited for supper to somebody's house in France, you have to bring a little gift. People do that. Because they're invited, and the supper will be, you know, food in France is awesome. And it is, really. And you know you're going to have a wonderful supper. So you feel bad about just being invited like that. You want to have something in your hands. You want to have a little gift. So you bring a gift. Love will call love. And when God gives you so much love, you feel like giving something back in return. And that's what she did. She brought her worship. And I just want to tell you this tonight. I will invite the musicians. We will close here. Hallelujah. We're all equals. We're all the same in the sight of God. I don't know you. I don't know what you've been through. But maybe this week, maybe at some point in your life, you've been feeling like bad inside. Sometimes it's the accusation of the devil. I know it. Sometimes it's not from God, but sometimes it's the Lord trying to point something into your life. But it's out of love to bring to conviction, then to bring forgiveness, to have a result, an outpouring of you worshiping Jesus. Can we stand together? Listen to me. Look at me. Maybe you're here tonight and you're saying, why? Why worshiping God? Why coming at His feet like that? You know, I'm going to tell you this. In return, it's amazing. Everything comes from God. He brought conviction. He brought life, light onto her heart. She repented. He forgave her. He brought the worship. And she started to worship Him. And you know what He gave her at the end? He gave her another gift. She left the room with a bigger gift. The greatest treasure that you could ever afford. Money can buy it. Power can buy it. Fame can get it. Anything, influence, anything. Peace. Who will have peace in this world? Friends will not give you peace. Your clothes will not give you peace. How you look will not give you peace. If you're pretty or not, will not give you peace. But I'm going to tell you this. As she worshipped Him, He gave her what this world is looking for. He gave her peace. He said, go in peace. I'm going to tell you this. When the Creator of the universe tells you that you have peace, you know what it means? It means tomorrow will be okay. Everything's going to be all right. If Jesus says tomorrow's going to be all right, I'm going to tell you, you don't need to know what's going to happen tomorrow. He said it's going to be all right because He gives peace. But He gives peace to those who worship Him. Hallelujah. I don't know why they're clapping their hands. I hope you're clapping your hands to Jesus. Amen? First time, I don't know how to end up, brother. You know what? I feel we should just worship Jesus tonight. Amen? How many young people tonight, you know you're guilty? Raise your hands. Raise your both hands and one foot. God, I'm guilty. But how many here tonight, you know He loves us? Hallelujah. We don't want to fight that. We want to agree. Amen? And we want to bring our worship to Him tonight. We want to focus on Him. You know, there was another point. I didn't bring it. She focused on Jesus. Isn't that beautiful? She was in a room surrounded with people talking about her, complaining about her. She didn't have music. She had nothing. But she had Jesus. Jesus was there. She focused on Him. And you know what we're going to do tonight? We're going to focus on Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you know that song that says, this is my desire? This is my... We're going to sing it. And I'm going to ask you tonight just to do one thing. If you want to step out of your seat and just as an answer to the love of God tonight. Hallelujah. Don't look at your friends if they're stepping out and coming at the altar or not. You just come. And you feel like God is pulling you. His love is pulling you. And you want to come. You want to say, God, I want to come to You tonight. I want to come like this woman. Just simply, hallelujah, Jesus, I love You. I want to offer You, God, all my life, my perfume. God, I want to come at Your feet. I want to focus on You, Jesus. I don't want to look on the right, on the left, and how people think and what people say. God, I'm going to worship You tonight. I won't leave this place without worshiping You, without focusing on You tonight, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come. Hallelujah. Let's sing this song together. Hallelujah. What a beautiful example because of His love for us. Hallelujah. Let the Holy Ghost deal with your heart tonight. Let the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit of God, touch something in your life tonight. And let Him convince you, saying, you're wrong into this. You need to repent. And you say, Lord, I repent, oh God. Hallelujah. And His love will come. His forgiveness will come. Hallelujah.
Praise you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Lord, we just thank you. Thank you for speaking to us so tenderly, God, and drawing us to you. We ask that you would help us to retain what we've heard tonight. And we ask that it would become a living reality in our lives. That when we leave this place, men would know that we've been with Jesus. Because there would be such a boldness in us. Such a confidence, such a knowledge of who you are and what you've done in our lives and what you're going to do. That it would not be some argument, but that it would be a sure testimony to the fact that you are alive. Holy Spirit, we give ourselves away tonight. We pour out our love on you tonight. Totally unrestrained, God. Hallelujah. Lift both your hands to Him tonight. Lift both your hands to Him tonight and just tell Him, God, I give you control. I give you complete control of my life, all that I am. I give you control. If you need cleansing tonight, ask Him to cleanse you. Ask Him to change you. Ask Him to embrace you. Just agree with Him tonight. Just say, God, this is evil. This is evil. This is evil. That's evil. This is evil. Those things that he's putting a finger on in your life, you just agree with Him. Maybe it's your whole life, the way you've been living up until now. Just say, God, it's all evil, and I give you my life tonight. Forgive me. Cleanse me. Give me a new life, your life, the one you created me for from the very beginning. Hallelujah. Now by faith, just receive His forgiveness tonight. Receive your cleansing tonight. Receive the peace that passes all understanding tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.